Hello and welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Alana Glatt, and today we will be studying Sefer Shmuel Aleph Perek Yud Chet, Chapter 18. Yesterday, we unpacked the miraculous story of David and Goliath, watching along closely as David courageously stood up for the name of Hashem and bravely smashed down Goliath, the beastly and fearsome enemy of the Jewish people. We also saw that despite the fact that David was now recognized by all of the Jewish people as a national hero, our parak nonetheless ended off on a tricky note, with Shaul becoming increasingly suspicious of David and him trying to ascertain whether or not David might be the very king who has been chosen to take his own throne away from him. In our parak today, Parak Yud Chet, we're going to watch as this extremely complex dynamic is going to begin to reach newer and more complicated levels, as members of Shaul's own inner circle and family unit will now become deeply connected with David, much to Shaul's very chagrin. And we will try our best to try and work through many of the difficult questions that will present themselves, as many puzzling incidents will begin to unfold along the rest of our journey of learning together, Mirat Hashem. Parak Yud Chet opens up, continuing from where we left off last. Pasuk Aleph, Vayhi kechalotu ledaber al Shaul, Benefesh Yehonatan nikshira benefesh David, vayehavehu Yehonatan kenafsho. As David finished speaking with Shaul, humbly assuring him that he was merely a lowly shepherd from Beit Lechem, the pasuk tells us that Yonatan, who was Shaul's eldest and impressive son, who we've met in previous battles, Yonatan's soul became bound up with the soul of David, and that Yonatan loved David as himself. Despite the fact that Yonatan had much to lose personally from David's rising success, as Yonatan was the next in line to the throne after all. Nonetheless, Chazal pick up on Yonatan's wholehearted selflessness and his ability to fully love David and chase after truth and not after his own personal aggrandizement. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Hei, Mishnah Tet Zayin states this very concept explicitly. Kol ahava shehi tluya badavar, batel davar, betela ha'ava. V'she'ena tluya badavar, ena betela liolam. Ezo hi ahava hatluya badavar, zo ahavat Amnon v'tamar. V'she'ena tluya badavar, zo ahavat David v'Yehonatan. All love that is dependent on something, when the thing ceases, the love ceases. For example, a relationship surrounded on, let's say, money. If the money dries up, so does the relationship. And all love that does not depend on anything will never cease. What's an example of love that depended on something, says the Mishnah? Such was the love of Amnon for Tamar, a story that you'll Bezrat Hashem learn in Sefer Shmuel Bet. And what's an example of love that did not depend on anything? Such was the love of David and Yonatan. The seeds of this friendship, which are starting to sprout here, are truly altruistic and deep. And that's why, interestingly, Yonatan is now going to be referred to primarily by his name, Yehonatan, in the Psukim, and not as Yonatan, as Hashem himself rested his name upon such a selfless relationship. I will note that there are others, notably the Rabag, who are of the opinion that perhaps Yonatan's loyalty to David wasn't completely selfless. Rather, it was very much self-aware. He suggests that seeing that the tides were turning and that David was the most likely candidate to take over the kingship, Yonatan sides with him completely, choosing to be part of his own inner circle rather than be outcasted, as would likely happen to the son of the previous king, who technically would have been the next in line. For the remainder of our learning, though, I'm going to follow through with the approach that this friendship was truly paradigmatic, that David and Yonatan were both tzaddikim, and that Yonatan truly excelled in the midah of Yahavta Lereacha Kamocha, of loving another Jew like oneself, another person like oneself, seeing the good in David and pushing away his own negative midot to further the goals of this friendship, something we can all strive to achieve in our very own relationships with other people. Pasuk Bet now jumps back to Shaul and tells us that from that day forward, Shaul, now amazed by David and his incredible victory over Goliath, now he conscripted him into his army full-time and no longer allowed him to go back to his father's home. As we saw in last parak, David switched off between his work in the palace and his responsibilities, It's his family's sheep back at home. But from this point forward, David will remain a permanent fixture in the king's orbit. Psukim Gimel and Dalet. Vayichrot Yehonatan v'David bris v'havato oto k'nafsho. Yonatan and David sealed a special covenant with one another, since each loved the other like himself. Vayitpashet Yehonatan et ha'me'il asher alav vayitznehu l'David u'madav v'ad charbo v'ad kashto v'ad chagoro. And Yonatan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his battle garments, his sword, his bow, and his belt. In doing this, Yonatan was showing David that he knew very well that David would become the next king, and that he full-heartedly agreed to it, as he recognized David's unique eligibility for that role. Now, Psukim Hei through Teh tell us that David went out with the troops, as he had been commanded by Shaul, and he saw tremendous success in every single mission he was sent on. Hashem was truly with him in all of these excursions, so Shaul placed him in command of all of the soldiers, and everyone was pleased with this, all the people and Shaul's servants alike. The Malbim highlights something beautiful and striking here. Normally, he says, people usually resent someone who suddenly rises to power, especially someone younger or newer. But David was different. He earned the respect of everyone without triggering jealousy among them, except for the king himself, which we'll see again momentarily. The Malbim further notes here the beautiful pasuk from Tehillim, which we sing as part of Hallel, Even ma'asu habonim haita l'rosh pina, from Perakuf Yurchet, the stone that the builders rejected became a cornerstone. The humble, once overlooked one, with humility and divine guidance, truly becomes the foundation of everything, David himself. And the Psukim now jump back slightly in time and tell us that it happened when the troops came back with David from slaying Goliath the Plishti, that the women from all of the cities came out with their musical instruments to jubilantly greet the holy king Shaul, and they began to sing. The Abarbanel notes that this was actually common practice back then, to publicly acknowledge the war heroes, to encourage more among Am Yisrael to stand up strong in their defense of Am Yisrael. And the women, they would sing the following song, Hika Shaul ba'alafav v'David b'rivivotav. Shaul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. Do you think Shaul was happy when he heard this chant? No, not at all. Vayichar l'Shaul me'od. And Shaul became very distressed by this matter, thinking loudly to himself that David now has everything possible. All that he lacks at this point is the kingship itself. And so Pasuk Tet. Vayihi Shaul oyein etz David mehayom hahu v'hala'ah. And Shaul now eyed David with a deep suspicion from that day moving forward. Shaul is now deeply suspicious of David, his unparalleled successes, his divine guidance, and his popularity among the masses. And from this point forward, the relationship between Shaul HaMelech and David, in which Shaul had previously loved David, this relationship will never manage to be the same again. Now on the following day, Psukim Yod through Yod Bet tell us that unfortunately, a ruach ra'ah, a spirit of melancholy from Hashem, once again came upon Shaul, and he raved incoherently in his house, his mind filling with bitter thoughts about losing the kingship, while David gracefully with both hands played the harp for him, as had become his daily ritual at this point. But the music didn't seem to help in the same way as it had been until this point, and Shaul, in this difficult state, held a spear in his hand. And in this state, Shaul took his spear and he threw it, thinking that perhaps he could strike it through David and into the wall behind him. David was preoccupied with his full body playing music after all. If there was a time to try, this would be it. But David somehow managed to elude him twice, just in the nick of time. And Shaul became extremely afraid of David, for it was clear that Hashem was with him. There was no other natural way he could have dodged the spear twice if not for this divine assistance. And Shaul now realized that Hashem had turned away from him. So what does Shaul do next? Psukim Yud Gimel through Tetzayin tell us that Shaul could no longer bear seeing David so successful in front of his eyes. And he feared that perhaps David was plotting after him in his throne, which Chas V'Shalom could not be further from the truth. And so he removed David from his presence and appointed him as a chief of 1,000 to march at the head of the troops. According to different Mefarshim, Shaul either downgraded his position to being the head of a smaller group, or he upgraded him to a higher responsibility in the hopes that fighting in the front lines of more wars would put David into danger's way more often. But instead of being in harm's way, David managed to succeed in all of his undertakings because Hashem was with him every step of the way. And when Shaul saw that his plan here was failing and that David continued to succeed at everything he set his sights at, Shaul dreaded David even more. Meanwhile, all of the other people in the nation began to love David more and more. Now, Pasuk Yedayin, at this point, with David continuously succeeding in all areas, Shaul HaMelech now continues to plot against his perceived threat of David, and he thinks of an additional plan. Shaul had promised that the one who fought the mighty warrior Goliath would be given his daughter's hand in marriage, but he hadn't brought it up to David, as he knew that David said explicitly that he fought not for the reward, but rather l'shem shemayim, to defend the name of Hashem. So now Shaul decides he's going to offer his older daughter, Merav's hand, in marriage to David, but on one condition. David will need to continue to serve as his warrior and fight even more of Hashem's battles for him. The pasuk makes it clear that Shaul thought to himself, "Let not my hand strike David, let the hands of the Plishtim strike him instead." It'll only be a matter of time that something will happen to David after fighting so many dangerous wars. Yurchet. David hears Shaul's offer to marry his daughter, and he responds with the ultimate humility and sensitivity, as we will continue to see from David throughout the entirety of this very sensitive story. And he says, "Mi anochi, umi chayai mishpachat avi b'Yisrael ki ayeh chatan lamelech? Who am I, and what is my life, my father's family in Israel, that I should become a son-in-law to the king?" David humbly knows his place and in no way is looking to overstep the boundaries or take anything purposely away from Shaul. But Pasuk Yotet then tells us, "Vayehi ba'eh teitet mirav bat Shaul le'David, v'hi nitna la'adriel ha'mecholati le'isha." Then at the time that Shaul's eldest daughter Mirav should have been given over to David as a wife, instead she was given over in marriage to a man named Adriel from the town of Mechol. There are different opinions as to what exactly happens here with Mirav. According to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Mirav was given to David, but due to certain halachic problems, the marriage was considered invalid, and Mirav was therefore given over instead as a wife to Adriel. The Mavim, on the other hand, teaches that Mirav was her own individual woman, and since she wasn't consulted beforehand about her father's decision, she found her own marriage partner for herself, and she married Adriel instead of David. Psukim Chaf through Chafzayin now tell us that Shaul had yet another daughter, a younger daughter, by the name of Michal, and that Michal, the daughter of Shaul, loved David, as she recognized what a tzaddik David was, and that Hashem was with him. And when this was reported to her father Shaul, Shaul was pleased with the matter. Shaul was pleased because he reasoned that Michal would now be able to serve as a snare for David. He figured that she would of course remain loyal to her own very father, and that in her loyalty, she would be able to encourage David to fight against the Plishtim, where he would most likely be harmed. When Shaul has his servants relay this exciting prospect to David, that he could instead marry his second daughter, Michal, and become his son-in-law after all, David this time responds with a bit of skepticism and an additional dose of humility. He says, "How can I be sure that anything will actually materialize this time? And furthermore, even if it is a serious offer, who am I to marry the king's daughter? I am but a mere poor man with nothing to offer the king in exchange." The king's men then repeat David's word to the king, to Shaul. And then they come back telling him that Shaul indeed desires David's hand in marriage for his daughter, Michal, and that he desires no money or no jewels for this honor. Rather, all he wants as a dowry is the foreskin of 100 Plishti men as a vengeance on the king's enemies. Shaul again here intended to have David fall at the hands of the Plishtim. The Psukim tell us, though, that David was pleased with the idea of becoming the king's son-in-law, and so he went out with his men and he killed 200 Plishtim, double what was requested of him, and he brought their foreskins, which were counted before the king, and Michal was then given over to David in marriage. And our parak ends off for today, Chaf Chet through Lamed, telling us that Shaul saw and understood that Hashem was clearly with David. How else could he manage to single-handedly and safely bring back 200 Plishti foreskins? And even more, he saw how much his daughter Michal loved David. So Shaul began to fear David even more. Vayehi Shaul oyev et David kol hayamim. And Shaul harbored enmity towards David all of his days. And that whenever the Plishtim would venture forth, David was more successful than all of Shaul's other servants, and his very reputation became very outstanding. Today's complicated perek, which will unfortunately continue to unravel and become even more complicated in the coming perekim, begins to highlight to us the grandness of David HaMelech, and we will continue to watch along closely as each bumpy blip along the way both refines David and brings him closer to Hashem, traits which will ultimately shape him into the future king he will deservingly become. Thank you so much for learning together. Today's parak is dedicated to the safety and peace of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. May the words of Nach uplift us and give us strength during these challenging times.